Hello and welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast. My name is Graham Arrowsmith.
And my name is Kevin Appleby. So Graham, today we're going to the world of growing businesses, asking questions: what happens with when the founder stops growing? Does the business stop growing? And all sorts of other things like that.
Well, we have got Alan Kazak all the way from Toronto, Canada. And Alan, welcome to the Next 100 Days podcast.
For having me, guys.
That's good. Let's start then at the beginning. What kind of business do you run?
Yeah, so I run a marketing agency. We work with life insurance agents and financial advisors, and we help them get more customers on the web.
So those customers are typically individuals who want, you know, life policies and financial advice, and you basically need to understand their motivations so that you can actually connect the two dots. So what is it, how do you and your team help these customers?
Yeah, so great question. So I think like the first thing is, since all of our clients are very similar, we know exactly who they want. So when we start developing marketing strategies for our clients, we know exactly what type of messaging is hitting. And I think irrespective of what type of business you run, it's important to understand the macroeconomic climate and how people's sentiments are, because things like financial products, insurance, etc., where we operate in, they're very dependent on the economy. And so the way people are going to buy are going to be different depending on how the market changes. So if you can tailor your marketing to the different problems that people have depending on what's going on in the world, you can develop a better marketing strategy. So let me give you guys an example. An area where we have a lot of success with, and where we have tons of clients in, is called annuities. It's like a hedge against market risk type of product. It's a hybrid between an insurance and an investment product, basically. And so when the market's doing really bad, people are more looking at annuities because they're safety vehicles, right? So basically, our ads are going to harp on people's pain, doom and gloom, tired of losing money in the market, there's this opportunity, etc. And so that's kind of how we want to present it. So like, my whole point to developing a good strategy is, really, it's important to understand your client avatar, understand how they think, what gets them to buy or make those decisions. And when you do that, you can make messages that resonate, obviously factoring in these macroeconomic factors, even microeconomic factors, depending on what country you're marketing in, as you're developing a strategy and creating ad copy, things like that.
Well, all that sounds really interesting. One of the things I don't really understand, annuities. I thought that was an annuity was something to do with like a mortgage, isn't it? No.
So in annuity, it's like a pension. So in the US, a lot of companies don't even have pensions. And so basically what an annuity is someone will put 500 grand into an annuity. And once they retire, call it 67, they're going to start receiving like this annual payment that's going to give them like a monthly lump sum that they can use to live. So that's really what they're doing. Now, the stock market will grow at, say, 8% a year on average. That's maybe somewhere around there, 7-8%. And annuities will give them a little bit lower growth, but they also can't lose anything. So annuities will have like a floor where you can't go negative. So even if the market loses 10% in a year, the annuity will do 0% return.
But isn't it the case, though, with annuities, and this is one of the shall we say, the smarter Canadian clients that you're talking to, will be saying, well, hold on a minute, inflation's going to eat away at that kind of meager percentage that I'm going to get from the annuity. All right, I'm not going to lose money, but I'm sure as hell I'm not going to make any money.
No, so right now in the US, where most of our clients are, we have fixed indexed annuities, and they're indexed against the market. So maybe like in the market, in your best case scenario, you'll average like, call it 8% a year. With the annuity, you'll get, call it 6%. So it's not that much different.
Right. Okay. All right. So basically, annuities are and people want leads for annuities. So basically, what your job is to, on behalf of your clients, is to find those people who want annuities. So just talk us through Because, Kevin's getting to the stage where he needs some sort of an annuity. He's near retirement. I'm sure he's retired already. I get a pension, Alan, but I'm not going to retire for a while because
No.
it's not that big a deal. So, okay, we're now thinking about annuities, and you've explained what an annuity is, and you're going to target presumably Canadians because maybe you can't sell into America, but basically, let's just say the Canadians. How do
No,
you?
in Canada, annuities aren't popular. It's mostly Americans.
Oh, I see. Okay, so basically, then you're going to go to the Americans and say, "What is it you're going to say, and how are you going to say it, and what media are you going to say it in?"
Like the advertising message. So it really depends. So we actually have different messages where we really hone in on different, we call them client avatars or ideal customer profiles. For instance, if some agents want to work with people that are very affluent, they're very rich, they have millions of dollars, it's a double-edged sword. They get paid on a percentage of the deal, so technically they're doing like higher ticket deals. But also, these people are more sophisticated. They have more to lose, so they tend to move a lot slower. So we may target a higher income client. We may target an average Joe that average annuity sold in the U.S. is around 200,000, give or take. So we may target average Joes. We have campaigns for that. We have campaigns for government workers. Governments have pensions, and they have what's called the TSP, which stands for a thrift savings plan. And so there's opportunities to go after government employees and get them put their money in an annuity as well. They're kind of like their retirement fund. So there's all these different types of opportunities. So when a client comes to us, we ask them who they want. And then we build a marketing campaign strategy that works based on who their ICP is.
Got you. All right. So the all right. So we've got an idea, and that ICP would be something like, I guess by the time these people are starting to think about annuities, they're in their 40s. Yeah.
Later, mid-50s or older.
Really? Okay. So you don't get them early on. You get them once they've built a chunk of money.
Exactly. So the whole purpose here is what one of my clients likes to call is you get people in the fourth quarter of life where they know they're gonna die in the next, like, realistically 20 or so years, maybe 30, a best case scenario. And so what you're really doing is when people are in the fourth quarter of life, that's when they need to be in capital conservation mode, right? Or preservation mode. So for instance, when you face an uncertain time like we are right now in the economy, the people, they can't afford to go through a 5% loss year because that's going to erode a lot of their gains, or even a 10% loss year. In fact, in March, the S&P 500, I think it lost like 6.1%. So when you think about that, it's a lot, because if you're getting 10% a year, it's eroding what you get 10% in a very strong year. So naturally, people are more skeptical, more reluctant to take risks in these later phases of life. So putting their money in an annuity makes sense. It doesn't make sense for someone in their 40s to put their money in an annuity because they have time to make up the losses. But that person who's got $1 million and they're about to retire, they can't afford to go through losses.
No, sorry. I was kind of confusing the fact that you're buying an annuity once you've built up a sum of money, but the annuity in the States isn't a sort of a graduated policy. So you don't have a policy that leads to an option to buy an annuity.
No, you just buy an annuity. There's different types of annuities. There's good annuities and bad annuities. The products have really changed in the last 20 years. So,
Right.
like, a lot of people are selling fixed indexed annuities. We also do things like Roth conversions. This is like really a strong campaign right now. And so basically the Roth conversions are giving people the opportunity to save money on taxes. Because a Roth account is like a tax-free account in the US. So
Yeah.
they can use the annuity and put the funds into a Roth over a number of years and save hundreds of thousands, sometimes even millions in taxes by using these types of strategies.
Okay, so all right, so you're explaining your in fact then your ICP is going to be somebody fairly close to wanting to retire, and also they want something that's going to kind of guarantee the next 20, 30 years of their life. Right. Okay. We get that. But in your advertising, you're saying you can scale your business and you're talking to the people who want these people, without high intent, exclusive annuity leads. Give us an idea. Just split that up. High intent, exclusive. We know what an annuity lead is because you've already explained. But what is an high intent, exclusive lead?
Yeah, so in this business, there's a lot of companies out there that sell shared leads. So what ends up happening is three other advisors are competing for the same potential customer. So what we do is all exclusive. So if an advisor is competing with three other people, it becomes a race to the bottom. It's who calls them first and who gives them the product that sounds the best. And a lot of times, if a product sounds the best, aka in this world, is maybe it promises people the highest rate of return, it'll have some negative contingencies. Example would be like they have something called surrender charges, where if you want to withdraw money early, you have to pay penalties, things like that. Probably higher penalties on some of these worse products. So it's not like advisors are kind of like competing for the same customer in the case of shared leads. By giving people like the shittiest product on the market, and that sounds good, so it's never good for the consumer. And so with us, they get exclusive leads, so they're not competing with the same for that same customer. So they're actually able to do what's best for the client. And so some of our clients are life insurance only licensed, others are full-fledged financial advisors, and in the US they call it a fiduciary. What a fiduciary means is it's someone who kind of has to exercise like more caution and is under more scrutiny in the way that they act and advise clients. So it's really, really important that like an advisor is acting like a fiduciary and giving clients best advice. So you kind of have this, well, whenever you're in a situation of shared leads, like it's almost like you can't even wear their fiduciary hat, because in order to
So
win that job, they have to give
let's
the
just say
client.
you get in touch with a guy in the US, and he's your team's spoken to him. He's now a lead for XYZ financial advisors. He goes there and he don't like them. What happens then? Doesn't want to work with them.
He may fill out another form online, and go somewhere else.
But would you have a contingency for him, just in case he wants to back out? Okay, well, we'll make you exclusive for someone else.
No, we don't
No,
do that.
no. Okay, that's interesting. So exclusive does mean here you are, and they've got to be pretty bad at the job to lose that lead. But nonetheless, that's their risk. You're going to provide them a lead and you're going to charge them a lead, or do you work with them to say, we'll work on conversion? Because if you're doing so well on lead generation, do you work on a conversion?
We don't work on conversion. I've tried it before. It usually never goes well. Reason is advisors have no skin in the game, and the sales cycles on annuities are very long. They're 2 to 3 months. So from the standpoint of me scaling my business, it'll be very, very difficult. So that's why it's a lot easier for us just to charge our clients a fee. Like we usually charge them a monthly retainer fee.
Right, I get you. I see. I understand. So, well, okay. So you not only get annuity leads. At the end of the day, what you're good at is generating leads. So let's go back to that. You do that what on social media, on email? I mean, what are the channels that you use to get these people?
Facebook, Instagram, typically.
Facebook,
Meta.
Instagram, and did you say something else?
No, Meta ads primarily.
Meta, right? Okay. So, and is that because they are aging a little bit? The people who are using those products are a little bit older.
Yeah, they are. It aligns very well with our demographic. We won't find these people as much on TikTok if they're like, especially this 55 and older demographic. So we've found like a really good sweet spot. We know exactly what works to advertise to seniors because like that's our target market. That's our area of expertise. So like for example, if someone was trying to advertise something else to seniors, like I know exactly what would work just because like right now is targeting that exact same demographic.
Yeah.
Okay,
So,
so entirely meta. I'd have thought a lot of folk that are coming up to retirement age with a reasonable amount of cash to spend on something would be quite commonly on LinkedIn as well. Is that not a place to advertise this sort of product?
never tried LinkedIn ads for clients. LinkedIn is a more sophisticated audience. So LinkedIn in general is more like professional, right? So it would be like doctors, lawyers, accountants, people working in a corporate setting, etc. It could potentially work, but for us, we're seeing very strong results on Meta right now. So the thing about social media is it's from my understanding, cheaper to advertise than on, for example, LinkedIn, where LinkedIn you have two options. You either do organic, where you're or you do like DMs, right? So you're kind of sending people connection requests, trying to connect with them, send them messages, but you're only allowed to send like 200 messages a week, and you know, for a lot of people that's not enough. And then also LinkedIn targeted ads, I've heard they're very, very expensive. They're more for like enterprise software companies, things like that.
Yeah, makes sense. I can understand entirely why Meta is the right answer given that. Yes.
Yeah. But isn't that almost like a bazaar? Because with due respect, you won't be the only people targeting seniors in that market, will you?
No.
So what gets that kind of edge that you obviously have over
Yeah.
other people?
Yeah, ads. Like most of the people running ads in our vertical are not that good. So it gives us an edge. So for example, like my media buyers will very rarely even spy on our competitor pages because their ads are so bad, for inspiration. So I mean we have other types of industries that we follow that we know exactly have similar demographics where we're looking for our ads. But most of the people are advertising for like free books and free guides. And then every time I love talking to an advisor on a sales call about who's advertising for a free book, they're like, all the people I'm getting aren't ready to do anything for another year. And it's like, yeah, because you're advertising a free book for them and they're just reaching out to get that free book. They have no intention of doing any business with you. So there's naturally that which happens. Yeah, I mean, they're all things that we do to
So these.
differentiate ourselves. We focus on pain. So if we understand what type of pain people have, we can make the best. So in the world of Meta, the most important thing is creative. That's what my team spends most of the time doing, testing different creatives, finding different strategies. And the good part with my business model that I don't hide from anyone is if I get a guy and he's licensed in California, I get another guy and he's licensed in New Jersey, we can run similar ads. They're just targeting different markets.
Right. Okay. So, sorry, go through that one again for me. What you're saying is that you geography, what does or doesn't play a part in this?
Not majorly, so we can run similar ads for someone in California.
Yes, I guess if you've got two financial advisors, both after the same sort of customer, they'll have the same pain points, therefore the same advert works, but you're using the algorithms in Meta to show it for one advisor in one state and another advisor in a different state.
So, all right. So, your business is all about meta ads, that you're creating ads that are based on pain points for your particular avatars. This sounds like classic direct marketing sort of planning and execution of strategies, which, you know, completely respect. In a similar business myself, not quite the same. Don't focus on Meta at all. But the what I would, but you did say right at the beginning, your avatar is very much, you know, it's almost like an average Joe. They're not like millionaires. They are people who've built up a reasonable chunk of money because they've been
It
working.
depends. We have some clients that like working with millionaires, so we can advertise for millionaires. But the
On that.
reality is, yeah. So the reality is that the type of people you get from any ad are gonna resonate with a specific message. So, for example, people in the lower echelon, call it, or people maybe who only have a couple hundred grand for retirement. These types of folks, they have income problems when they approach retirement. So we have ads that are tailored around that to help them get monthly income, things like that. People who are in the wealthiest tax brackets, what are they thinking about? They're thinking about taxes. They're thinking about taxes to their heirs. They have $10 million. I was just meeting with one of our clients yesterday. He's working on a case right now. That's what they call them, annuity cases. $5 million case. The guy's heirs, if he doesn't set it up properly and structure, they're gonna have to pay like 1.4, 1.5 million in taxes once he passes away. He's 69. How much longer will he live? Maximum 20 years. So you factor these things in. The advisors are giving them advice on taxation. So we make ads that talk about taxes, saving money on taxes, building a legacy, etc. As far as smart strategic planning, and these are higher net worth types of clients that are coming in. So we have an approach that's catered to everyone. Like I said, we also have clients that want to work with government workers. It's crushing it. Same idea. We have ads that tailor to that.
So how did you get so cute at doing ads though? Because that seems to me, from what everything you've said, that's the bit that you're eating off everybody else's plate with. You're just better at ads. And one of the things you've said about that is that I'm better at ads because I'm using pain, individual's pain. So that millionaire's pain, the average Joe's pain, the guy who's going to suffer's pain. And you're building ads for them for lots of different companies. So have you just built up an awareness of this over time? Or did you have to do some, I don't know, some research into the people? And do you have to continually research people?
Yeah, things continuously change. So the thing I kind of hate about my business is it's very cyclical and it's very dependent on the economy. So if the economy does bad, we'll see a lot more agents reaching out to us because those guys that are selling stocks are like, crap, I can't sell any more stocks. I have to sell annuities. And so what do they need? They need annuity leads. But we also have other types of annuities that are more tax-based. And so right now there's a sentiment in the US that taxes are going to go up. So when taxes go up, people panic. So we have ads around taxes. So the way we can insulate ourselves as a business is have all these different types of campaigns that we run that all work irrespective of what's going on in the stock market or what's going on in taxes or what. So it's allowing us to broaden our scope and target other types of folks as well.
But the purpose of the ad, and the ad is going to throw salt on the wound, and effectively it's, but the solution is this guy's annuity. The
Yeah,
solution is,
so
I mean, that's got to match the pain that you're creating, or
yeah,
you're, yeah, sorry.
so here's the thing. Most people don't know what an annuity is, and most people don't understand how annuities work. And in the US, you have three big media personalities. One is called Ken Fisher. He's the owner of Fisher Investments. One is called Dave Ramsey. He's like a big media conglomerate. And the last one is Susie Orman. I think she's similar to Dave Ramsey. They're all yelling at the top of their lungs on television, the radio, the news, the YouTube, whatever, that annuities suck, that annuities are scams, that you should avoid annuities. So immediately when you go to the average Joe in America and you say, hey, what do you know about annuities? They're like, oh, that's a scam. And so that's why you don't lead in with the term annuity. You lead in with the pain the people have. And the advisors are showing them that the annuity is the solution to their problem. So it's not, that's why it's very important. Some of these advisors, they're like, oh, I want to, like, and annuities, think of it as selling like the luxury homes of real estate, which is what they are of the insurance industry, or like the Rolls Royces of the car industry. They're like the most high best paying products for insurance agents and the hardest to get clients. And we've been able to build a system where we can get these clients at scale. And the only bottlenecks that we have is advisors don't know how to sell these products, so they struggle to close, and then after a few months they leave us. But there's tons of advisors, and we have a very strong clients. Like some of our clients are with us for like 4 years, so that naturally, our system works. People wouldn't keep paying us for 4 years if they're not getting killer results. We usually do see like a big variability. Either the advisors are crushing it, making 10, 20 times their money and absolutely destroying it, or they're doing absolutely shit because they can't sell. And usually those same advisors will either reach back out to us after a few years after they've tried every other marketing company and realize that there's no magic bullet, or they simply like suck at sales, maybe it's not for them, and they leave the industry. But usually, like the people that are actually in the industry long term, they usually are like really strong clients for us, especially if they're good closers. Like if they know how to sell, and things like that, they crush. I've had people make 100 grand in commissions within the first 2 months of starting working with us. So that's usually not the problem. It's just, and sometimes even on sales calls, like advisors, you can sense they have a degree of skepticism, and they're like, oh, do you guys have any guarantees and all of this? And usually those are the advisors that aren't confident in themselves. And I usually tell them like I in my mind I question why the hell are they still in this business? They don't sound very confident. How the hell is someone going to give them $1 million if they're not confident in their own ability to close the deal? Because half of it is the mindset piece as well.
Kevin.
Interesting here that you mentioned Fisher Investments. Now, the only adverts that I'm seeing here in the UK seem to be coming from Fisher Investments. Surprisingly, when I see them, they're nearly always on LinkedIn, and they're nearly always inviting me to download some sort of brochure. So that is very interesting. I just wonder if there's an opportunity here in the UK for somebody to come along and do exactly what you're doing, Alan. Because it strikes me that what's there at the moment, at least what I'm seeing, is making all the mistakes you've just discussed.
So Fisher Investments is a massive company. They're more like they're operating in a couple countries. I know they're in the US, they're in Canada, they're in the UK. In respect to like your question about opportunity in the UK, I don't know how the annuity market works in the UK. So I don't know how big of a thing annuities are. In the US, they're really big. And it continues to grow. And for me, my business is very like the shittier the stock market does, the better it is for our business. Because we have all these financial advisors and insurance agents that'll flock to annuities as a safety vehicle. And we've even seen this in the last few months. I think March is like a nail on the coffin because we're seeing a lot more demand. Like it's almost like the shittier the economy does, a month later, it's like our business will get a lot more leads. Just because of how it works. But definitely if the UK has a good annuity market, there's definitely opportunity. I will say I think a lot of these areas outside of US are less competitive for advertising. They're not necessarily better. Like Canada is maybe less competitive for advertising, but like insurance agents and financial advisors in Canada are way more broke than insurance agents and financial advisors in the US. So I like dealing with clients with money because they're less headache. They understand the situation. They're nice to work with, less hassle. So it's not necessarily better to go after a less competitive market. If someone wants to try it out, they could in the UK. I don't know how lucrative or fruitful it will be.
So, Alan, you've clearly got a huge amount of expertise in this very, very niche area. How did you get into this in the first place?
It was like really random. I was running a tutoring business and we weren't doing well. I was barely making money, not enough to pay my bills. And I made a difficult decision to shut that business down. And I parted ways with my business partner and just gave him ownership of the whole business. He was a good guy, but I don't know if he has the entrepreneurial instinct in him. And so I don't know what he does now. We sort of lost contact. Like it's not like we don't talk. We just like just parted our own ways and carried on with our lives. But I know that business is no longer operating. And so for me, at that time when I left that business, I didn't know what to do. I got a client who asked me to run ads because I learned ads building my tutoring business. Started running some ads for a guy on I met on a beach, ironically, and he had a car dealership, and that's where I started. And then I tried signing more car dealerships and really struggled to bring in more clients. So I ended up pivoting into in insurance, initially just doing regular insurance marketing for like insurance agents and agencies. And we never saw good results. So then I was like, let's try annuities. And annuities, like the first client I got, they closed the deal within the first month. So I was like, I was on to something here. And then it started going. And now, like, when we onboard a client, they get leads right away. It's on them to close those deals. And you know, the advisors that aren't dumb, they understand that. But like our system is super streamlined, and we have tons of clients that absolutely crush it.
If your leads are high intent, then that probably suggests that your clients are going to close more because they're ready to buy, as opposed to they want the book, you know. And it's a bit earlier in their plan. They're still looking. They might buy in another 16 months or something like that, but not now. So, if you're providing high intent leads, do you ever measure how they do? I mean, I assume that they come back to you and say, the last 1,000 leads, I've closed 500 of them or whatever. Very proud of that. Or the last 1,000 leads, I've only done 10. Then maybe not so proud.
I have a client success manager. She handles relationships with clients, and her job is to keep clients as long as possible. And communicate any mishaps. So, for instance, if a client is like complaining about lead quality, she communicates that to our marketing team, and they make adjustments. It's constantly a process. There's good months and bad months, but the people that have worked with me for years have made $10 for every dollar they spend with us, if not more.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. So, once the sort of bottom dry falls out of the annuities market, which eventually it will, presumably, what do you do then?
Yeah, there's constantly opportunities. If the economy does well, people need annuities. If the economy does poorly, people need annuities. There's always a place for them. The annuity market in the US is only growing.
Okay.
The best year, I think, was like 2008 when the stock market really collapsed. I don't think the next 3 years are going to be good in the economy anyways. So I mean, annuity sales are booming. Just last month, 6.1% decline in the stock market. So there's definitely a need for annuities.
So what people are doing is they're saying, I just want a bit of certainty.
Yeah. So th think about it like this. The financial advisor that's managing someone's money, let's say they get $1 million. They have to manage that person's money. And then every time the money goes up, client is happy. The stock market goes down, client is angry. Now they have to deal with all this crap, right? Alternatively, they sell someone an annuity, they can never lose. Annuities are safety vehicles. They'll never lose. They might not make anything, but they'll never lose money.
The team that you've built, they do lots of different. You said you had a success. A girl looks after the success of clients. So, how big is your team now?
People.
Sorry, I missed that.
15, 15.
1-5. Okay, well, that's a substantial team, and that would probably put you into a reasonable position in that competitive arena. So you got, I mean, I know there are other people doing this. But what makes you said earlier that one of the things that they don't quite get right is their ads are a little bit meh, you know. So maybe they're just not understanding things like ICPs, things like motivation, things like the broader picture of what's going on in the economy. More than once, have you talked today about the idea of the economy going one way, or there's a macro shift in the economy in the States? Maybe in Canada, whatever. And that you can track people's potential interest, presumably in all your different segments, average Joes and your millionaires and all the rest of it. You can track their sentiment, and then you know what to say to them. Then you know how to craft that ad. And that ad, just so I'm clear when it comes, because I don't do Meta ads, but that ad on a Meta, where is the ad in Meta? Where is on Facebook? If I open up Facebook, I've got a feed. Does it come into that feed, or is it somewhere else?
Yeah, you can pick different placements: feed, news feed, stories, Instagram stories, all these different placements. Usually, we let Facebook do its thing. It has a very, very strong algorithm. However, usually, like given our demographic, this more senior demographic, typically Facebook performs better than Instagram.
Yeah, it would do. Yeah. So basically, then the ads are there people talking, or is it a static ad, or what does it look like?
We have all kinds of ads right now. Podcast style ads are performing very well for us, so we'll make podcast style ads.
So that's like you're talking to somebody else about annuities.
No, like we'll get actors or use AI to make us ads.
Right.
You mentioned there, Alan, that you can use AI to make some of these ads for you. What sort of impact has AI had on your business?
Yeah, I mean, AI has helped us a ton. AI is a tool that allows you to make your staff more productive. It allows them to do more. It allows you to get more out of your team as a business owner. There are some downsides to AI. It's going to reduce the need for certain jobs. So people are going to lose jobs to recreate themselves in their jobs. But overall, I think AI has allowed us to be more productive and do a lot more. So on the ad side, we can test a lot more creatives. The biggest lever when it comes to any type of ads, especially on social media like Facebook or Instagram, whatever, is creative. So now my video guy, instead of being able to make 3 videos a day using AI, he can make 10 videos a day. So we can test a lot more.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yep, makes a lot of sense. Yeah.
Well, I'm really impressed that you've narrowed down to a market that looks like it's growing, that you're selling to a heck of a lot of people. And it's really interesting, isn't it, Alan, that you can do it, but the end clients can't. They can see what Meta does. They could probably even have a look at the ads that you're running. But they can't seem to get what you're doing and do it better than you. So they keep coming to you.
A lot of our competitors went out of business last year because they don't understand the customers as well as we do. So it's all of that. There were some updates where if you advertise in financial services, you have to put your ads in special ads category, and it didn't really impact us because we've always focused on strong creatives, and in the world of Meta and online ads, strong creatives will always win.
Alan, I've got to say, barring the odd audio issues, there's some fantastic nuggets that you've shared, just as you promised. So, you know, I mean, you're not that bad. I mean, you know, I mean, you're Canadian, you've got a bit of a twangy voice, but apart from that, you're all right. And you're knocking it out of the park when it comes to generating high intent exclusive leads. So if somebody wanted to find you, where do they get in touch with you, Alan?
Yeah, so the best way is email. It's alan@vroommediagroup.com. I'm more than happy to talk to anyone. They should just mention that they heard me talk on your show, and I'd be more than happy to connect with them. They can also follow me on Instagram. So my Instagram handle is ALN, like kind of like my first name without a few letters, VR94. That's it, ALNVR94. They can also connect with me on LinkedIn, just like my full name, Alan Kazak. I'm more than happy to connect with anyone on LinkedIn as well. Again, mention in the note that you guys saw me chat on this show, and I'm more than happy to connect with you guys.
Brilliant. Alan Kazak, brilliant. Thank you very much indeed for joining Kevin and I on the next 100 Days podcast.
Great. An interesting journey into a very niche area of marketing and a man who's got a very clear formula in there of what works.
Forgive me for not sort of immediately picking up on what an annuity is. I know what an annuity is. It's just that I don't know. Before the podcast,
you're getting old, Graham.
Well, no, before the podcast, I'd had a massage, a brilliant massage, and I was feeling so chilled. I'm not sure what was what. But anyway, the thing is, it was a really interesting exercise in sort of understanding why somebody in a really competitive market is better than the other guys.
Yeah.
And he almost gave us the ingredients. All right, the secret sauce of the ads is you'd have to look at them, wouldn't you, over time and actually study them. But at the end of the day, told us what the formula was. You know, pain points for an ICP. So the ICP is not it's not the same one. There's lots of them. And if you can draft an advert for that particular group of people that speaks to their pain in context to the world that's going on around them, then you're likely to get some interest.
Yes, indeed. You know, Facebook ads is something we found recently is something that works in Grow CFO. It's a very, very good way at generating leads for some of our high ticket programs. Ooh. I think anybody listening to this, one of the things to take away is, you know, Facebook advertising, if you get it right, works.
And you know, I maybe 10 years ago or less, I was thinking that it maybe just did not work for, you know, the affluent in this country. And I'm probably sort of ready to eat my own words on that, because I think there probably is a market there. I think a number of people will be using it. And so, yeah, I'll be certainly looking at that.
I think there is, Graham, because I'm clearly there. Alan is using it for big ticket items.
Yeah,
Grow CFO, we're using it for big ticket items. So certainly it works for those people with a good amount of money.
I like the idea he's using podcast ads.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think you and I might have a second career somewhere along the line, but probably not today. On that point, I've been Graham Arrowsmith.
I've been Kevin Appleby. Goodbye.
Goodbye.